Morning, it's wonderful to see very familiar faces to gather here to worship God with you. You know, 29 years ago, I left Missouri and moved to Dallas. And in the last 29 years, 12 of those years, not quite 12, but almost 12, has been spent in Oklahoma City, and the remainder of the time was spent here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. As I see many of you, and I sit over here and I listen to your beautiful voices singing. We had great singing this morning, songs well selected, songs that brought praise and glory and honor to God Almighty. It was a distinct honor to be with you in this congregation on this day, and a very special day, as Brother Lyndon Cox has already mentioned. My wife selected my sermon for today. Esel mentioned to me about what I maybe preach this sermon, separate conversation. So therefore, I'm going to preach part of it today, part of it this afternoon, if the Lord be willing. I have a sermon for many, many years, and I still do it, but not as consistent as I once did. I would preach sermon on how to make the best of that particular year. So obviously this meeting, this sermon today, would be how to make the best out of 2017. Now there are many good ways, and I fully realize when I get completely through with two sermons, there's a whole lot more of things you can do. We're going to talk about several very key factors. Now this morning, I'm going to focus in on some very significant factors that we've got to take a look at. We're living in a day and time, I don't know if it's always been this way or if it's just that I'm getting older and I'm realizing there's a lot of unforgiveness floating around. People are not forgiving people like we should. So I want to tell you this. The Bible teaches you and me, and I'm going to show you this in the Bible, but I want you to understand it. I'm going to tell you exactly where we're headed. And that is, if we do not forgive, God will not forgive us. That's your one-liner. That's what you write down. If we do not forgive others, God will not forgive us. Now, right now, you may be thinking, oh, my, but you don't know what they did. They this and they did that. You know what? I don't necessarily know, but I may know. But it doesn't matter if I know. Who am I? I'm nobody. It doesn't matter if I know. Let me tell you what, the key factor is the Lord has set forth a precedent of Scripture and the Word of God that illustrates the attitude that we must forgive. Now, did I say easy in that? No, it's not easy. It is not easy to forgive people who have done great disservice to you individually or to your family. But one thing that we need to do, we need to be thankful to the Almighty God that He was so willing to forgive me and to forgive you. All right, another point. I know several have already written other things too, but a second very important point. We should be as eager and willing to forgive others as we want God to be eager and willing to forgive us. You know how bad we want God to forgive us? We want God to forgive us just as soon as we say, Father, I've sinned, bang, it's done. That's what we really want. We want it to be done here and now. No ifs, no ands, no buts. No delays. I mean, Father, when I say I've sinned, gone. That's what we want. And guess what? That's the way it is. If you, from your heart, really pray for forgiveness, God, it's gone. Now, isn't that fabulous? But now when someone else who sinned against us, now we start thinking about, well, let me see, you know. And you start pondering, what happened to that immediate action? I know it's an uneasy, but I'm going to show you from the Word of God several factors. And I promise you, you will enjoy and have a much happier and carefree spiritual life, living a very wholesome life, in 2017, if you learn to forgive. Be eager, be willing, be ready, be anxious to forgive. I have a 5-part sermon I preach about the beauty of the forgiveness of sins. I've not preached in a long time. I need to get it out, dust it off, and take off with another, put that in my meetings, sermons, and that'd cover Monday through Friday. That'd be quite a deal. You know, I want to talk about what I know is very challenging. And I know this is challenging, and I'm not having any particular person in mind or any particular individual or circumstance, but I'm telling you what, I travel a lot, you know, and I go to places all over the United States, and in my preaching and in my working with people, I realize this is a case of non-forgiveness. And I generally come around and say, let me cut to the chase. Have you forgiven them? And when you got to have a stammer and a stutter, it usually means no. If you have this, oh, yeah, I've forgiven them. Oh, yeah. Well, then why are we having this conversation? I don't even want to know what happened yesterday, yesteryear. If it's forgiven, it's forgiven. I don't even want to hear it. I don't need to hear it. You don't need to be talking about it either. I mean, that's being, you know, really cut into the chase here. You know, let's just kind of cut out the fact and get to the heart of the issue. Why are we even talking about sins that are forgiven? Do we want God to say, you remember this? You know, I do too. That kind of irritated me. You don't want to irritate God. Follow me? We want to keep God happy with us. What we've got to do, forgive like we want God to forgive us. All right, I'm going to give you a few verses. Then after that, I'll give you a few more. All right, Ephesians 4 and 32. Let's take a good look. Paul writing here. Now notice several of these writings would be by the Apostle Paul, but to different congregations. Now I promise you, I have no reservation in promising you, if you will forgive others, you will live a much more ease and peace of life. If you want to be forgiven by the Almighty God, you need to forgive others on the same basis. If you don't, you won't receive that forgiveness of God. Ephesians 4 and 32, the Word of God says the following. Carefully notice this passage. The Bible said, and be ye kind one to another. Now that by itself is pretty hard for some. Some people, it just kind of rolls off. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Here we have a criteria. That's in your Bible too, by the way. Now I preach in the King James and New King James Version. So if you have a different version, it's going to read slightly different, but the meaning is going to be the same. Forgive one another, even as on the same basis that God for Christ's sake has forgiven you, so you forgive others. I want us to be sitting on the edge of our seats, eager, willing, and ready to forgive somebody. I do not want you to be the individual that won't wait to make somebody crawl through the mud and through the gunk and through whatever it takes and beg you for forgiveness. I don't want that. That's the wrong attitude. Matter of fact, we're going to read you another passage here in a moment, but then I'm taking you two or three illustrations that Jesus gave. And in these stories and illustrations that the Lord gave, then he points out very clearly that our eagerness and willingness to forgive is so invaluable. It is priceless, absolutely priceless. Okay, you're at Ephesians 4:32. Flip over a couple of chapters, a couple of books to Colossians 3 and 13. In Colossians 3:13, now this is very similar, but this will illustrate how Paul preached the same message to the Ephesians as he did to the Colossians. In Colossians 3 and 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, would you please tell me what's hard to understand about that? As Christ forgave you, so also do ye. God is so willing to forgive us. We didn't deserve it. He just did it anyway. He let Jesus come down the cross, shed his blood for sins he didn't even commit. I mean, God had a sacrifice, huge sacrifice, and sacrificing his son. Jesus had a huge sacrifice and sacrificing his life. And said, God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us, even so do ye. That's not hard to understand. So you should have on your paper, Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:13. If you have those verses, now you will make a much better 2017 if you practice those two verses. Practice the message of those verses. Be that willing and eager to forgive. If we don't, if we do not forgive, I'm getting ready to prove to you from the Word of God, God will not forgive you. Now, you've heard it said, but I know you've read it, no doubt, but I want you to reread it. I'm going to remind you. I want to be like Peter, the apostle. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, I'm going to serve you by putting you in remembrance of these things. That's what Peter, an apostle and an elder, also, that's what he said. So I want to show you one. Let's go to Matthew 18. These verses just somewhat scare the socks off of me, because they get right to the heart of the issue of forgiveness. And it really brings your light. Now, I want everybody. Now, I know we hear it, and sometimes I say, you know, we all know this, and I move on. I'm not going to do that today. No, I'm going to stop right here, and we're going to read these verses. Now, I'll stop and make comments, but we're going to start at verse 21, and we're going to go down through verse 35, because this is all about forgiveness right here. And we're going to learn a lesson. We're going to be reminded of what we need to know. If we do not know this, we need to know it. If we do know this, we need to practice it. If we're not practicing it, we need to pray for forgiveness and then practice it. This is not an option. This is serious, going to hell offense if we violate it, going to heaven reward if we obey it. Now, can it get any better than that? There should be nothing that you're willing to go on in your heart and in your life that keeps you from doing this. All right. Let's please begin verse 21. Then said Peter unto them, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Peter felt like he had been so generous. Seven times? You know, seven in the Bible, as a general rule, is a number that indicates completeness. I mean, when you've done something seven times, you have really done something. I mean, you're really going places now. Now, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times? And he probably felt really good about his generosity there. And Jesus blew him out of the water. Look at the next verse. Jesus said, I say not unto thee unto seven times, but unto thee 70 times seven. Do what? 70 times seven? 490 times, 70 times, that's a lot of times. Now, if you had an individual that came to you 470 times and said, please forgive me, I ain't lied about you, I cheated you, I did this or I did that, you'd probably find something. Come on. Can you only imagine? Generally, that doesn't happen. As a general rule, whoever has violated you in some way, some shape, some form, two or three times is about all it takes, and you've written them off. I mean, you assume not see them again? I've heard the statements. I know the deal. We all are human. We have the idea. I just, you know, it suits me for them to go north, I go south. Jesus didn't want it that way. Jesus let it be made known, this is where it's going to be. And then he gives an illustration. Oh, if you've not heard this in a long time, you're going to hear it today. I need this. Alan Bailey needs this. The Bible said in verse 23, therefore it's the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which took account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one of them was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents. 25, but forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, get hold of this, and his children, and that he had, and all that he had, until payment was made. I mean, not only are you going to punish, your wife's going to punish, your children are going to punish, everything you have is history until you pay everything. Whoa, that's kind of scary. And here it goes, 26. The servant therefore fell down, worshiped him, saying, Lord, I have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Beautiful verse following. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. All right, now I'm going to go being nosy. When is the last time you showed compassion to someone who sinned against you? He moved with compassion. The father moved with compassion and forgave him. Don't overlook some of these words that we want to slide over. Because see, the same way the Lord forgives us, we forgive others. That's the principle laid out in Scripture. It is over and over and over mentioned. And my friend, in order for us to have the best of 2017, we've got to quit harboring ill will and gripes and grumbles and complaints. We can't do that anymore. That's got to be history. It's done. When people ask for forgiveness, it's done. You're quick to say yes, just as quick as when you say it to God. All right, we're not through yet. This story is far from being over. We're at Matthew 18, remember. Now we begin at verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved to compassion, loosed him, forgave him the debt. Amen. What a great passage. But with the same servant, he went out. He found one of his servants, which owed him 100 pence. 100 pence. That's kind of like 100 pennies, okay? That's just for emphasis. One owed 10,000, okay? He owed 100. Very, very little in comparison to the large amount he was forgiven. He owed 100 pence. And guess what happened here? Verse 28, the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. He laid hands on him and took him by the throat. He said, pay thee me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet. He besought him, said, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that, I want to pause here one moment before I do the 31. Is that you? Is this me? A guy had just forgiven me of an insurmountable debt that I could not possibly pay, 10,000 talents. I could not do that in a lifetime, pay it back. But he wiped the slate clean. And then somebody owed me some pocket change over here. And I threw them in prison until they paid it all. Now, it seemed like to me you'd be so rejoicing over being forgiven a debt you could not pay that you'd say, what debt? What pocket change? Don't worry about it. We're having a happy day today. That to me looks like what we would be doing. God forgiving us, we're going to say, you man, God forgave me. Hey, I'm going to forgive you. We're going to live happily ever after. That's the pocket here. That's exactly what the Word of God teaches that we should do. Easy? I didn't say it easy. But the more you do it, the easier it is. And the reason it becomes easier to do this is when you appreciate forgiveness. When you appreciate God's forgiveness to you, then you're going to be much more eager and willing to forgive others. I mean, you just can't wait to forgive others. Now, sure, they've got to do their part, repentance, confession, and prayer of the baptized believer. They've got to do their part. And when they've done their part, I mean, you give them the first big hug. All right, now let's look at 31. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. And they came and told their Lord all that was done. The fellow servants just standing back watching. He just got forgiven of an insurmountable amount of debt, and he wouldn't forgive this guy a pocket change, and the people observing it, they were very, very sorry. That guy was put into prison for all that he grabbed by the throat and threw him in. Oh, look at the next verse, 32. Now this is a wake-up call. Then his Lord, after he called him, he said unto him, O thou wicked, get a hold of this. O thou wicked servant. If you have an unforgiving spirit in your heart right now, to anybody who has repented, confessed, and had prayer, and gone through the proper steps according to the Bible, and you've got some ill will against that person right now, Jesus is talking to you. Okay? It's in red letter. Jesus is talking. Alan's just reading it. Okay? Verse 32. O thou wicked servant, I forgave you all of that debt that thou hast desired me. Shouldest not you also have compassion? There's that word again. Should you not have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wrought. Uh-oh. Here it comes. His Lord is wrought. He delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all the debt that was due him. So likewise, 35 just blows me away. 35 needs to be remembered by everybody in this building for the remainder of your life. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you and unto me, unto us. If you from your heart Oh, I got to do it from my heart. I can't just do it by my lips. No, do it from your heart. Oh, that's painful. I don't know if I can do it. You can do it. So you got to do it. You got to forgive from your heart. If you from your heart forgive not everyone. Who? Everyone. Who? Everyone. Well, that verse just got that big. It's huge. If you from your heart do not forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. Dear friend, I'll tell you what. I know for a fact, the more you learn to forgive, the more you appreciate forgiveness from God. And the more you appreciate forgiveness to God, the quicker you should be at forgiving others. You should be so excited to forgive others that you just can't wait to do it. Matter of fact, you want to call them up and say, look, if you go ahead and repent, confess that prayer, I can forgive you and all as well. That's what we need. That's what we want. Listen, the Bible is filled with passages about unforgiveness. It's filled with passages about compassion. If you want God to forgive you, you got to forgive others. So therefore, I'm telling you right now, bottom line, cut and dried, if we want to have the best of 2017, we're going to get forgiveness from God. And the only way, get hold of this, the only way we're going to have forgiveness from God is if we are willing to forgive others. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to cut and dry it. If you, when I say you, it's spelled M-E, me, you and me. If you and me do not forgive others and we harbor ill will and all those dirty little words like that, we will not be forgiven by God Almighty. We will lose our soul. Now you remember that. Do not forget that. Jesus made it abundantly clear in so many passages. When I began to put this five sermon, I didn't think it was going to be five sermon. When I began to put this whole thing together, I said, oh my word, that's so much. But I know for a fact, it becomes pleasant. You know how you feel when you do something good for somebody? You know, whether it's just doing something very little, very inexpensive, maybe you fix them a meal. Maybe they're sick and you take them some food home to their home. Maybe it's some soup or crackers, whatever you do. You know, that makes you have just a warm feeling. You feel good about it. Not that you're bragging on it, but you feel good about it. That's great. I'm tell you what. You know how you feel when you get forgiveness from God? You know how you feel? Oh, it's gone. That lying I did, that cheating, that immorality, that whatever, it's gone. It's gone. Now I'm going to be just as quick to forgive others. Now listen, that is principles laid out in the Bible. All right, let me give you another passage. Now, I'm not preaching a whole sermon on this, believe it or not, but I'm telling you what, I'm cutting to the chase of what I see across the nation that needs to be preached and practiced more than I can think of anything else, and that is the attitude of true forgiveness. Luke 17, look at verse 1. It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanging about his neck and is drowned in the depth of the sea than he should offend one of these little ones. Now get a hold of that. You're better off dead than to offend a little one. Alan, you're better off with a millstone hung about your neck and you're drowned in the depth of the sea than to offend one of these little ones. Would you please remember that the next time you get ready to tell somebody a piece of your mind? Would you remember that? Would you remember that verse, Luke 17, 1 and 2? Before you do that, say, is this really necessary? Am I going to feel just like a hero here? Is this going to be real? Is God going to be happy with this? Remember that. You're better off dead than to do it, than to offend one of these little ones. All right, 3 and 4, Jesus cuts it out right down here. Take heed to yourselves. Aha, that's where it starts. It starts with looking at yourself. And me looking at myself, take heed unto yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. It's fine. Bring it to his attention. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee saying, I repent, forgive him. Now, my friends, guess what? I didn't make any of that up. Not a bit of that. So I will tell you, if you will make the very best out of 2017 if we'll learn to forgive. Now, in connection with forgiveness, you will make the best out of 2017 if we will be peacemakers. in Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 9, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. What's the reward? They should be called the children of God. I want people to see you as a peacemaker, not as a person who causes trouble. Guess what? In this congregation, since I'm here at Grapevine, I'll talk to you. Father 21st Street, I said to them, okay? Right here in the Grapevine spiritual family, do you know who it takes to have peace in the congregation? Do you know who it takes? It takes every one of you. Every one of you. Every one of you. In order to have peace in the congregation, it takes everybody. You know who it takes to have a problem? One of you. To have confusion, strife, discord, one person. Young, old, man, woman, one person can create strife in a congregation. They said that. You know what they did? They run your big mouth and you need to keep it shut. Everybody it takes to have peace and harmony, one person can destroy it. I'm telling you right now, do not be that one person that destroys that. If you are, everybody's going to know it's you. They know we had peace before you did what you did, and now we have discord. But let me tell you what. I'm not going to read this series, but please write this passage down. Proverbs, the 6th chapter, verse 16 through 19. This is where Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19. That's a great writing of Solomon in the Old Testament. And Solomon said, these 6 things the Lord hates, yea, 7 are an abomination. And the 7th one is, he hates those that sow discord among brethren. Friends, listen, the only way to have peace and harmony is everybody work for peace and harmony. You're blessed. You got a gripe, you got a grumble, you got a complaint, you got a whine. Call for one of your soon-to-be 3 elders. And say, I got something they need to talk about. You know what? They're going to be on your front door, happy to be there to talk with you. And we'll work the situation out, and then they will encourage you to, let's take the care of this thing real nice and proper, and don't ever let that come up again. They're going to help your spiritual life, because let me tell you what, you sow discord among the brethren. God hates that. He don't hate the person. He hates the sin. Ouch. Wow. Peace is wonderful. Congregations grow when they have peace and harmony. They grow numerically, but they grow in strength and in wisdom and works and honor. I mean, it's wonderful to work together. You know, when people come into church, you know, usually people are happy to see each other, give them a good old warm handshake, give them a good old hug, just glad to see everybody. That's the way it should be. But when you come in and see somebody and you say, no, I'm going to do this way, bad deal. If there's anybody you're avoiding, they're the bad problem. And you need to get it resolved. We want peace and harmony in our spiritual family. How would your husband like to get home and you've worked, you know, 8, 10, 12 hour days and you get home and you walk in the front door and your wife just takes off and goes the other way? How would you like that? You would. You'd be following her and say, what's going on? Or you may say, oh, I did messed up. You know, I don't know what's going on. Or if the wife comes in the door, the husband takes off. You come in after being gone for many hours shopping and doing this and doing that, and then you decide when she comes in, that's the perfect time for me to leave the house. Be real. I'm just asking you to be honest. Be honest with yourself. What can I do? See, when you begin to put forgiveness and peacemaking efforts in the same sentence and the same thought, it works wonderful. Ephesians 4 and 3. Paul the apostle writing the congregation to Ephesus, and he said, I want you to endeavor. That word endeavor means to work hard to obtain. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Ephesians 4 and verse 3. And work hard. You know what? If people would work it hard and get it along as they do it fussing, you know, hey, we'd be getting along a long time ago. This is the best. This is so wonderful to help make the best out of 2017. I don't even know what time I got up here. I don't know how long I've been preaching. But tell you what, it's 3 minutes to 11. Give me 8 minutes and I'll be out of here for the morning lesson, okay? I want you to do this. Number three, I would like for you to learn how to handle your burdens in life. You know, burdens sometimes weigh people down. And it kind of creates a, why even try? Yeah, I hear it all the time. People say, you know, I try and I try and I try and I fail and I fail and I fail. Well, you know, I want people to really, really try to do the right thing and do not be the individual that catches yourself doing bad things. I'm going to give you three ways. The Bible gives you three ways. All I am is giving you the message. Three ways of handling every burden you have, okay? Are you ready? The Bible says, God said, the Holy Spirit inspired it. This is good news. Everybody from time to time has the burden. I'll tell you how to handle it. Psalms 55, David writes, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. Here's one way the inspired word of God said, handle your burden. The Bible said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be removed. When you have burden, you cast your burden upon the Lord. And when you do that, you relieve yourself of that burden. You cast it upon the Lord. Wow. That's easy. Well, see, the Lord's got broad shoulders. He can handle it. He's telling you, I want to help you. You cast your burden upon me. I care for you. I want to help you. I love the fact that we've got a Lord that loves us, that wants us to go to heaven, that wants us to do the right thing. This is it. We're on our way. We just got to clear the clutter of resentment and ill will and all that out of our way. You got that forgiveness issue resolved. You're working for peace now, and you got some burdens. How do I handle them? You get that out of the way. All of a sudden, get a hold of this. All of a sudden, you have found yourself learning to live a Christian life, and it's just now became that much easier. When you get rid of all that unforgiveness out of your heart, and you work for peace all the time, and you cast your burden upon the Lord, hey, man, it's getting easier. People, I've been asked this many times, you know, why do some people live a Christian life easier than other people? How do you answer that? How can some people, they live a Christian life so much easier than other people? You know why? Because those people have cleared the clutter out of their life. And these people have not. All right, go with me now to Galatians 6, verse 2. This will be your second point, how to handle your burden. Galatians 6 and 2. The word of God says, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. Regardless of who we are, sometimes we are under the gun. We have difficulty, we have trials, and we need to be helped. The Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens. When someone comes to you because they know that you're under pressure, you have a circumstance that is really loading you down, and they come to you and they say, please let me help you. Please let me help you. What can I do for you? Don't say, oh, nothing. No, they can do something. What can they do? Let them help you. They're there because they care. They want to help you. How can I bear one other's burden if you don't let me bear your burden? You come to me and you say, Alan, I know you got a lot on your plate right now and you got a lot of things going on. What can I do to help you? And I'm like, nothing. That's not right. I need to bear one other's burden. This is what we all do for each other. This is how the body works together, the spiritual body. We work together by helping each other overcome these challenges and difficulties that come our way. Because what happens next, the third one, is in Galatians 6 and 5. Because, see, you got some burdens you've cast upon the Lord. You've got some burden you've let other people help you bear. And that's clearing the way for you to do Galatians 6 and 5. That's your number three, bear your own burden. Galatians 6 and 5, for every man shall bear his own burden. Oh, there's something I can't do for you. There's something you can't do for me. Did you know what you can't do for me? You can't commune for me. Not that that's a burden, but you can't do that for me. You can't lay by in store for me. There's certain things I've got to do. Alan's got to do things Alan's got to do. You've got to do things you've got to do. Every person should bear their own burden. When you have circumstances coming your way, take care of yourself. You do the right thing. And when you've done the other two, you've cast a burden on the Lord. You've let other people have another type of burden. Then these become a whole lot easier. And the burden is eased. You remember what Jesus said. And you know what he said? And you know what he meant? He meant exactly what he said. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Probably you're the Lord of thinking it. Some of you may have already turned there. I want you to remember what he said, and that if we would practice the first three verses we just gave you, this right here would make a lot more sense. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I am meek and I am lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Everything becomes lighter when you're doing things God's way. So, it's time for you to, this is going to go into my point this afternoon. I hope all of you come back. Our first point this afternoon is, it's time for us to examine ourselves. That's how to make this a better life, better year. I plan 2017 to be the best year ever. And then when 2018 gets around, the Lord willing, I plan on it to be the best one ever. I mean, you can keep going. You keep working. I want you to do that. I want this year to be the best year for you spiritually. There's a lot I need to say that I'm not ever saying these two sermons. I had the benefit through the years of doing this every year, and we could tackle new things. But listen. Talk to people. See how they're doing. If you say, hey, brother, hey, sister, you're doing a great job of this. Hey, I want to do that too. Learn from one another. Work together. Love each other. Respect the leadership. Respect one another. Respect the brothers and sisters. And do everything you can. When tragedy strikes, I call it at home, all hands on board. You know, when Brother Benjamin Spradley had his ordeal the other day, you know, hey, call and post, all hands on deck. Be ready. We'll be calling on you. Whenever there's a need, we're going to call on you. You know, those are the kind of things we've got to do. We need everybody to be ready to serve the Lord. Everybody to be ready to help everybody else. Let's work together. This can be a great year. There's no doubt about it. It can be a great year if you'll allow it to be. It'll be a great year. If you're in this assembly and you're not ready to meet your maker, let's get right today. Don't put it off. Do not delay. My concluding thoughts is simply this. You will have a better 2017. I know you put your pens and paper up, but I want you to write this down anyway. I want you to learn to live like you sing. Those songs, you know, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. All right, do it. You've sung it. We like that song. We haven't sung it in a while. I don't know if it's in this book or not. But trust and obey. Live like you sing. We'll work till Jesus come. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to be a soul winner. Do it. Live like you sing. You'll have a great 2017. We have some great songs today. Live like you sing. It makes a big difference. I like songs that the songwriters write where they teach you messages in that song. You know, Brother Lynn was amazing at that. Brother Johnny, Brother Ivan Costa, you read their songs and you get through, you just had a sermon preached to you. Those are good. If you have a spiritual need today, would you please come while we stand and while we sing?